Brother BJ, would you please lead us in a word of prayer?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and for all the wisdom and knowledge that you've given to us today. And I just pray that you be with us for the rest of the classes, be with the speakers so that we hear your word and not theirs. And just open our hearts and open our minds so that we can go home with more knowledge and a better understanding of you, so that we can go out there and fight the battles that need to be fought and win more souls for you, Lord. We know that the end is coming soon. We need to get busy and get out there and do your work. In Jesus' name, amen.
Man. All right, so we're going to hit a couple of scriptures here really quick. Brother Christian, let's start with you and then go Aaliyah and then Jax. You got it there. So John chapter 6, verse 63. Sister Aaliyah, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. And then Brother Jax, Deuteronomy 32, 47. Before you have you read them, the reason I want us to read these verses is we were talking about prayer, dealing with prayer, and last night spending quite a bit of time, the reality of going into the house of the Lord. And just because you are showing up physically, does it mean you are entering into the spiritual house of the Lord? Your chance to respond, yes or no?
No.
Okay, so you can actually be physically sitting in the church building and be forsaking the assembly, right? And then Brother Nathan in his class, he was kind of hitting, and I'm going to try to draw these two together. He was talking about studying the Word of God. And studying the Word of God, is it meant to be an excitement of the flesh? No. In fact, quite the opposite. Right. So the reality and what ultimately we're getting to is when you are in the will of the Lord, when you are following after the Lord, when you are in his house because you have repented, cleansed, got into the house of the Lord and actually having this fellowship and the ability to pray, this is living, abiding in the life of Jesus Christ, abiding in God, as John chapter 15 talks about. And so even what Brother Nathan was talking about, is that ever going to be some excitement of the flesh? No. It's not for the excitement of the flesh. Now, we do see in Psalms where my flesh longeth for it. You can get to that point where your flesh longeth for it. But even in that, what we got to stop and realize is I, in my flesh, am a sinner. And so, in my spirit, I actually have to learn to grow up. Learn that, especially when you first become a babe in Christ, new things hit you. It's like ice cream with a baby. They just love it. It's great. It's wonderful. But then what happens? Maybe you grow up and you get used to that ice cream and you get used to some stuff. And what do you now have to do? You have to realize you are now adding, learning, abiding, and growing in the Spirit. So we're going to read a couple of these verses. Go ahead, Brother Christian. John 6, 63.
It is a spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirits and they are life.
Okay, so if you are studying the Bible, what is going to be profiting?
Spirit.
It is the spirit. And don't get into the habit and thought process, well, I have to be excited. I have to have this mindset. But realize it's not unprofitable. It is actually very profitable. It's just not profitable to what? To the flesh. So 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2.
As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby.
Okay. So what is that? As a babe, what do? Suck it up. Absorb it. Take it all in. Right? But the Lord wants you to stay on milk. No, you still have milk, but you should get into the meat. You should get into the understanding. Get into the spiritual maturity. And we use it as a platform to try to understand a little bit more about prayer. So the first time that you pray, do you fully understand what you're getting into? No, probably not. But what should you? You should learn. You should understand what prayer actually means, what worship actually is, and when you do it. And then that closeness of the Lord develops better, greater, just like a mature love between you and the Lord. Deuteronomy 32, verse 47, did I tell you? Oh, you weren't there? Go ahead.
The Lord is not a vain thing for you, come is your life, and you just came, you shall prolong your day in the Lord, whether you go over Jordan to Egypt.
Okay, so is this a vain thing? No, why isn't it a vain thing? Because it is your life. And we have to realize what we're getting into and the stuff that we are. Did you have a question?
Yeah,
go ahead.
I was wondering what verse he was reading.
Oh, that was Deuteronomy 32, 47.
46.
Okay. It is your life. And we got to understand, we are not here to profit the flesh. What are we here for? To grow the spirit. So don't have this brain, oh, I got to be entertained. I was thinking about this. You start learning about the Spirit as we go to Exodus chapter 30, and we're going to look at this or on this prayer, that you continue in the Lord, you follow after the Lord. Sometimes we have this mindset of, well, you know, I've spent all kinds of time serving the Lord. Now I need to go indulge in the flesh, or I need some me time. I need some a break from things. I don't know. Anybody else have that thought process or don't even think about it? What's the problem with it? It's against God. That's not the direction that the Lord wants. Is that we got to understand that this is spirit and this is life. And I will tell you, the spirit goes on for eternity. What happened to this flesh? This flesh isn't going to continue. Thankfully, I'm saved. This Lord's going to change this flesh. I'm going to be new, and what's remaining is the seed that is within us. So that when we do pray, what are we talking about? This one is where we're going to try to get today. We looked at, will the Lord answer the prayer of the lost? Yes, if it will, but it will only if it will lead him to repentance. And then will the Lord answer the prayer of repentance? Yes, he will answer the prayer of repentance. Otherwise, we're all in trouble, right? Does the Lord answer the prayers of those that are saved? Yes, only if what? It will lead him in his way. That's it. But now we're dealing with this right here. And the prayer of those in fellowship, those close to him, how precious it really is. And hopefully I can articulate this in a good manner. But we're going to just kind of read it. So Exodus chapter 30 and 1 through 9. Who'd like to read a little bit there for us? Exodus 30, 1 through 9, Brother Jared, go right ahead.
Now thou make all three comparisons upon a tin wood, shalt thou make it. A cubit shall be the length thereof, and a cubit the breadth thereof. Four square shall it be, and two cubits shall be the height thereof. The horns thereof shall be the same. Thou shalt overlay it with pure gold, the top thereof and the sides thereof, round about, and the horns thereof. Now thou make it to a crown of gold round about. And two golden rings shalt thou make it under the crown of it, by the two corners thereof, upon the two sides of it shalt thou make it. They shall be for places for the staves to bear it withal. Thou shalt make the staves of teen wood and overlay them with gold. Thou shalt put it before the veil that is by the ark of testimony, before the mercy seat that is over the testimony, where I will meet with thee. And Aaron shall burn thereon sweet incense every morning when he dresseth the lamps. He shall burn incense upon it. And when Aaron lighteth the lamps at even, he shall burn incense upon it, a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout the generation. He shall offer no strange incense thereon, nor burnt sacrifice, nor meat offering, neither shall he pour drink thereof, or drink offering thereon.
Okay, so a few things that hopefully we are a little bit familiar with this. If not, I encourage you to take a look at it. We're going to draw attention to a couple of little things here. So first of all, it gives us the instrument there. And where is it placed, first of all?
Before the veil.
Before the mercy
seat. Before the veil, right before that mercy seat. And what is this mercy seat a picture of? Very throne of God. The very throne of God is right here. Now, we hear this so often, sometimes we think, well, that's not that big of a deal. I'm telling you, this is a monumental endeavor that we just have very little concept of. Right. And I'll try to get you here in a second. We sometimes think, well, wouldn't it be great to meet the President of the United States? Oh, boy, I'd be intimidated before the President of the United States. I will tell you the one here is a little bit more, a lot more important than any man that has ever existed for the Jameson.
Especially if you bring and give yourself time to hide what it does to that.
Which portion are you talking about?
Where it talks about is the instruments of it that correlates it to the most holy.
Okay, into the most holy place. And so then, what's this? This is the place of incense or what?
Prayer.
It's the place of prayer. Go ahead.
Well, I just, so many of the items in the tabernacle, you got to really work to find out their meaning. This one, it's like the most simple spelled out what it represents.
Yeah. Revelation 8:3.
Exactly. Yeah. And there's two in Revelation, one in Psalms. I mean, it's like it's so plain cut and dry. And I think that's not by accident.
Not by accident. It's just right in your face. This is the place of prayer. And what prayer are we dealing with? Prayer of a lost man? Prayer of an individual for repentance of salvation. A prayer of an individual who is maybe trying to get in and follow after the Lord.
Same priest.
No. How about a prayer who maybe is a church member, but they need to repent of their sin? Is that the prayer? What prayer are we talking about? What's that?
Supplication.
A prayer of supplication. A prayer of worship, offering, giving glory to the Lord. Giving brightness. What's that?
Going boldly, not arrogantly.
Boldly, not arrogantly, because I think it was Brother Nathan was talking about this. Because why are we allowed to even be here? Because of Jesus. Period. Not anything of us. But having this ability to come boldly, and the one I think about, to offer glory. You know, glory is brightness, to give brightness to. Brother BJ, are you bright?
No.
Do you exude light?
In the flesh?
I'll tell you, none of us do. I'll tell you, the only light that is comes from where?
Yep.
Comes from Jesus Christ. And that that the Lord allows me to be able to give brightness and worship and supplication right before the throne of God? How do I articulate that? How do I bring that out to give it the depth that it deserves?
I think last time we were looking at Moses for 40 days on Mount Sinai. And then after that, his face shone because he was in the presence of God, and everyone else was scared to look at it. We're actually afraid of and scared of that light.
Yeah.
But men love darkness rather than light. We're afraid of it.
Afraid of it. Yeah.
But he makes it so that we can actually participate in it.
And you don't have to be.
No.
Right? You don't have to be. Now, a couple other things in here. This incense. Anybody know a little bit about this incense? It's later in the chapter. Where could this incense be burned? Could you take that incense out here and burn it?
Hi.
What was that, sister?
Hi.
If you wanted to do it, you could. This is the only place that this incense was acceptable. Now, draw it a little more. How important is it to go to the altar during service?
Here.
Oh, yeah, but Brother Daniel, I don't need to. I'm good with the Lord. I don't want to feel peer pressure. I'm not going to go there just because the pastor says I need to.
You go with him, why don't we place it?
Yeah.
Amen.
It's not about pastor. It's not about anybody.
You're right. There it is. And why? Because this is a special place of incense offering to God that he accepts. Now, how long should that be going? Continual. Now, it also nails a couple little things here. Is this the place where blood should be offered?
No.
So why does he say this isn't the place for that kind of a blood?
Should have already done it.
That's out here. Mm-hmm. Where should repentance, cleansing of sin, take place? Right here. Before you go into the house of the Lord, to be ready to be able to offer up this incense before your God.
Because if you're not repented, you can't go into the house of God. Almost like God has very strict rules about
it. Yeah. So you're telling me God is a narrow-minded, strict God?
Yes.
Yes, he is.
Thank you.
Yes, he is. He is very particular. And, he doesn't accept my ways. This is why I know we do it. We hear all these things about Catholics and other religions, and it makes you chuckle when you sit down and you do look. How particular is God? It's very particular. It's not just willy-nilly. Anything is acceptable. Anything is good. All right. The other one. Offer no strange fire. All right. We'll read that one again. Verse 9, you shall offer no strange fire, offer no strange incense thereon, nor burnt sacrifice, nor meat offering, nor shall ye pour drink offering thereon. You shall offer no strange incense. What happens when they tried to light this, if you remember, what is it, Nadab and Abihu? Did I get those names right? Nadab and Abihu, thank you. What happens when they tried to introduce a new fire?
They consumed by fire.
Well, God wouldn't do that today.
Well, not for God.
I'm too weird.
And again, that's why I started. What are we talking about? We are talking about spirit. Do you think that this doesn't happen in the spirit if I try to offer strange fire? What happens to my fellowship with God? It's not there. And these are the realities of service to the Lord. I can't offer strange fire. I can't bring in my own ideas. I can't bring in, the Lord's going to answer anybody's prayer. I remember as a kid, this is a big thing that at some time that, well, yeah, you know what? The Lord's going to answer all of these people's prayer. And there's lots of justifications as to why. Well, because, he loves everybody and God is love and all the good things. And so the Lord's going to hear my prayer here just as much as he hears this prayer in here. Is that what we are reading right here? No. So realize the prayers inside of this house, it is completely different than the prayers out here. Prayers out here are essentially all designed to bring you to a place where you can be accepted. The prayer here is an offering, supplication, worship, glory to God. Is that done out here? It's done here. So how important then becomes prayer? Pretty serious.
And then going back to your point about going to the altar, and so even if you don't, for whatever reason, want to go and worship God for your relationship with God, the prayers that are in the sanctuary are the only prayers that
are making changes outside. So that's how it goes back out. Numbers chapter 16:46. And Moses said unto Aaron, take a censer and put fire therein from off the altar and put on incense and go quickly into the congregation and make atonement for them. For there is wrath gone out from the Lord, the plague has begun. The reason why we don't see people coming to the Lord is because we're not in his sanctuary coming before God and making that atonement. And that's where our prayers get heard. That's where we get to go and now do the will of God, because we're worshiping him, we're glorifying him, we're having the same mind as Christ.
And that goes to a greater understanding here that, you know, I've seen the mindset, I know the mindset. Well, if we're just going through the motions of coming to church, you know, because, hey, it's what we do on a Sunday, you know, we're coming and, you know, I'm reading my Bible, but I'm not actively engaged in it. I'm just kind of passively kind of paying attention to it and halfway there. You know, I'm just kind of studying for my lesson just to make sure I have the right words to say. And I'm just kind of going along. What am I missing out on? I am missing out on actually spiritually in fellowship with the Lord. And then we go along like that for quite a while. Do we really believe that prayers and that influence is the same? I try to think about it this way. Who is the one that actually does the work to save an individual? Say that louder.
God.
God does. Sometimes in our brains we think, well, I am the one that goes out and I get out there and I'm doing the preaching and I'm doing the this and I'm doing the that. You need to. I want to take away from that. But who's the one that's going to do the work? It is God that is going to do the work. Well, what if I haven't been worshiping him? Well, I don't even know who he is. Well, I don't even pay attention to his word. I'm just going through the motions. How then am I even an ambassador for the Lord? You're not. Pretending. Acting. Then, Proverbs 28, verse 9. We've got Proverbs 28, verse 9. For the Jacks, go right ahead. Turn away your ear from hearing the Lord, and then you pray. What have you just done?
An abomination.
Abomination. You have just tried to offer strange fire to the Lord. That's what it is. All right. Now, get into one of the last little thing I want to cover for the last 5 minutes here. John chapter 14. John 14, verse 14. Who'd like to read that one for us? Brother Jared, go right ahead.
If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it.
Okay, who's got the next one? Brother Reagan, John 15:7.
If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done of you.
Now, I'd like to look at that. Are those two true statements?
Yeah.
Okay.
Be in there.
Otherwise, it wouldn't be in there. So, ye shall ask what ye will, and what shall happen?
It shall be done.
That's, I didn't think it was that tough. I didn't mean to leave you guys astray.
Mm-hmm.
It shall be done. How many people have ever prayed and it not word out like we pray?
James chapter 4.
Oh. So the reason I'm trying to end with this or thinking about this is so many times we pray and we haven't actually gone this direction. And we pray, maybe, you know, we're here, we're doing good, but my prayer is not quite answered like I think, or that it's just not quite working. What should that tell you? That I am not in the right spot. Right.
Well, I was thinking about this, looking at, like, trying to apply those questions to this verse because it came up last time. If ye, so you need to know who the ye is. It's church. And ask anything in my name. That's by his authority and his character. So if it's not according to the way that he wants us to do it, according to how God does things, then it's not going to happen. And so if you're not asking in his authority by his name, then it's not going to happen.
And because we're not in his will, in his order. Now, I was thinking about this. Well, that doesn't sound like fun because I don't get my way out. That doesn't sound like fun because, you know, I want this over here, and you're telling me the only way that it ever is good or works is if I'm actually yielding and surrendering and following after Jesus' will. Well, that's no fun because I don't get what I want.
And we can't ask the Lord's will unless we actually look and see what his will is.
We actually look and see what his will is. So there's lots of verses here that give you a little combat for exactly what I just brought out, because I know those things, at least in mind. Well, what's the point then? If I don't get what I want, why in the world would I be praying, first of all? So, James chapter 4. And 1 through 3. Who'd like to read that one for us? Brother Christian, go right ahead.
But when come wars and fightings among you, come they not hence even of your lust, but war in your members? You lust and have not, you kill and desire to have and cannot obtain, you fight in war, yet you have not, because you ask not. You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust.
Thank you. I'm trying to find the other verse that I just lost. Lost it. Okay. So why don't we get things when it's outside of God's will? Why don't I get what I want?
Because you ask it inappropriately to consume it upon your lust.
I want to change the verb. You're 100% right. Change the verb. Because it will destroy you. It is not for your good. It will harm you.
Don't profit your flesh, not the spirit.
And it because it is after the flesh. But if I am asking for something and it is against this will, his will, who does it harm?
Me.
It is for our good always. And I thought that was in Deuteronomy 6, but maybe I jumped in my brain. It is for our good. So even though we might sit back and think, well, you know, this way, I don't want to go this way because it's only ever him. Who does this way profit? Is that where it is? 6:24. Okay, could you read that for us?
And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is at this day.
Okay, so I think about that verse often. Because I, in my flesh, many times I hear this will and I go, man, you know, I kind of resist that will. And I say, well, you know, it doesn't really profit me. What is all of this will? What did he do all of this for?
Our good.
For your good always. So even though I go in this way, I follow after his will, and I come here and I offer him alms and prayer and glory and worship, whose good is it for? Ours. It's for our good always. And if he tells us no, why? Because it's for our good that he tells us no.
I think Brother Sean brought it out here a while back. It's called mercy seat for a reason. It doesn't have anything to do with him being the almighty wrathful power, because of his propitiation, because of his sacrifice, there's an invitation. It's for our good. It's good. It's love. It's compassion. It's mercy. It's grace. Come.
Share that love. Come. This is for your good. This is for your benefit.
There's rules, though.
Yeah. Can't come. You got to come whose way? It's only one way. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way. It is only one, Sister Robin.
But isn't that why Jesus, when he was praying in the garden, in his flesh desired another way, but yet
yielded and said, not my will, but thine be done, because he knew, even in his flesh, that God's will was always for his good.
Yeah.
It's our example.
Yeah, absolutely. I was thinking about that. We have that recorded prayer. Why did he record that prayer? For whose benefit? It's for me. So that I could hear the mind of Christ. And in everything, although it was a difficult thing that he did, he followed it before the Father. Because that's who he gave homage to, that's who he followed, that's who he yielded to. And then to stop and think, it's a mercy seat, that why did even the Father set up this plan? Well, all of them. Why did they set up this plan? For my good always. That they may dwell with me. Questions, comments? Out of time? Yes.
Well, that's why a lot of people question Hebrews 9, you know, why the Lord chose to describe the tabernacle in that way, because it puts the mercy seat in the Holy of Holies, or puts the altar of incense in the Holy of Holies. And well, we know better. It was out there with the candlestick and the table of showbread. It wasn't inside. But if you read that, that has direct tie to that throne. That is our venue to the throne. We don't get to the throne to the table showbread.
Yeah.
You don't get to the throne by reading the Bible. Right? We get to the throne, I think we offer incense. That ought to give us a big, pretty big clue of what this word is for, what the table showbread is for. It's all directly to that one piece that we have access to.
And that altar of incense, not a prayer of repentance, not a prayer of, well, you know, hey, Lord, help me buy this nice new car. What prayers? Worship. Glory. Bowing before the Lord. That's the one. That's what's going to do it. And what does it say about this veil? Done away in his flesh. That's how you have it still by Jesus Christ.
And we miss out so much.
Yes.
When we come to our gatherings together to go to that altar of prayer before our very God and complain to him about our woes in life. When what an opportunity to tell him that we recognize all the great works he's done for us, all the blessings that we've experienced. It is truly a place of glorifying God, worshiping him. We're a complaining bunch of people, but we spend a lot of time up there complaining.
Yeah. I try to think of it. I have to tell them, I don't know always what to pray. Sometimes I just say thank you. And try to reflect on who God is. Anybody else got a better way? You let me know. I'm open. But I don't always know what to say.
Yeah.
What's that?
My name.
But it's a worship to the Lord. Questions, comments? I'm taking up 5 minutes of your time, Brother Nathan. Come on up. Let's all stand.